And Shauger, we will have Koskinen versus Kemper tonight. Darcy Kemper, man, the guy's almost unbeatable. He's only allowed 3 goals once in his 9 starts so far this year. A sparkling 1.67 goals against, 942 save percentage. Mikko Koskinen, no shrinking violet himself. He's got the 11th best save percentage in the NHL. But the Oilers, obviously, we all know they got to play better than they did in Pittsburgh. It may be hard for the goalie to play better. But you know, Arizona's a team that, like, to me, they're still like Minnesota. Like, I don't know if they're a team yet that others get up for, right? Like, Stretti maybe can attest that, but there's something I'm sure about players is that, it's Arizona. Like, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I'm not expecting a lot of excitement in tonight's game.
Well, not exactly positive Friday for you, is it? Man, what happened over the weekend? You were so positive on Friday. I understand what you mean. It's not like tons of star power, and it's not some matchup that you get super excited about. Over the years, it's kind of been a blasé matchup, and that's just the way it's been by virtue of both teams being not really in the fight much. So, where it'll get more meaningful is in the back half of the season. If they're both competing for similar playoff spots and they're both in the mix, then games matter. So they've got some decent players. I mean, Phil Kessel is always, can excite you. He's a decent player. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is one of the better defensemen around. But they're just not a flashy, fancy group. That's just not who they are. And they kind of haven't been that team for a long time. So I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, this is an important game, man. These are those games where later on in the year, if you've taken care of your business in these divisional games against teams that you're battling with, it's critical. So there's lots for the Oilers to be getting up for tonight.
You know, there's a lot of people, or some people are suggesting maybe time to look at moving Bear onto the onto that first unit power play. You know, the Oilers power play is, cooled down, although they're still, within the top 10 from the last time I looked. Are you in the group that likes Ethan Bear, quite quickly slid into that area?
Yeah, I mean, I was suggesting this before they went on their road trip when it was first getting stagnant. That top unit basically takes the entire 2 minutes, and I don't think there's anything wrong with 45 seconds or a minute in on one of the clears to swap out the D-man. So I think you keep Oscar Klefbom out there with him, but I think the way this top unit is working, you can swap Chiasson for Neal or vice versa, and you can swap Klefbom for Bear, and it's a completely different look, same power play. I like that idea. Giving a completely different setup. You got a right shot there all of a sudden you got to worry about that's got the potential for one-timers. Tippett wants more shots. The reason they don't shoot enough is because there are not enough guys set up in position to take quick shots. They have to pass the puck into the net because there's nobody that can snap a quick shot. So unless you're shooting from a standstill or shooting, from the half wall, they just don't have those quick shot setups, and a right shot changes that for me. So I don't think you take Klefbom off. I think you start splitting it.
Well, I did see at practice today the first unit, but they ran the second unit quite a bit. And I wonder if maybe Dave Tippett just looks at saying, okay, because they're 2-for-21 now in their last 8 games in the power play. They've only fired 30 shots. And so they've actually had way more power play time because they're not scoring. So they're getting the full 2 minutes every time. And their shot volume has gone way down. And obviously it's shoot more. Like, it's kind of no brainer. But I wonder how you go about massaging that to make it happen. And I wonder if maybe it's like, okay, you guys aren't shooting, we'll give the second unit 45 seconds.
Yeah, and that's traditionally the way it goes. I mean, I have not seen an iteration of the Oilers where the top unit takes as much time on the power play as this group does. And they don't even, they make no apologies about it. They'll just literally stay out there for the entire 2 minutes. Normally, you'd be not sheepish about it, but you'd be, you pay a little bit of respect to the second unit by not just using the whole thing up. Everybody just sees. I mean, all of the goal scoring talent is on that top unit, so they've just started staying out there the whole time. And I think that I'm okay with that with McDavid. I'm okay with that with Dreisaitl. Nugent Hopkins, sure. But I would be looking at, rather than putting the second unit on more, I would be looking at changing up that first unit part of the way through. If they're going to be out there for 95 seconds or 100 seconds, it would be a way of giving it a different look and a different feel without having to take your star players that have the best chance of scoring off the ice. So I think this is like an in-between. I would rather not see the second unit on the ice more. I would just shake up that first unit and swap Barron for Klefbom halfway through that first shift.
Yeah, it's your point's well made, and I can see where you're coming out with that. I wasn't thrilled with the 51 shots against. I'm sure that Mike Smith was, because he had a heck of a game.
Yeah.
You know, I might be a little bit too hard on the group, suggesting that it was coming at the end of a road trip, and it was a game they won, but they got beat.
Oh, they got beat. 100% they got beat. No question. They were outplayed, and, you know, there's some discussion today around the rink about, you know, a lot of those shots coming in from a distance, and there were lots of those shots from the perimeter. But they got totally outplayed in that game. If not for Mike Smith, that's a 4 or 5 goal spread. I mean, they got dominated on the shot clock, and Smith had to make some tough saves. So no, I they won 2 or 3 games on the road. They played 2 very average games out of those 3 on the road. They were outplayed in 2 of those 3 games on the road. And their game right now, like, they're not playing great right now. Sorry if I'm now being the Debbie Downer, but the quality of their play, outside of getting spectacular goaltending and heroics from the top two, they're not going to be able to sustain this type of winning record if the overall game doesn't come around. So, no, I'm totally with you. They got outplayed in Pittsburgh. They got outplayed badly by Detroit, especially at the top end of their lineup. They had a good middle game, but 2 of the last 3, I think they've been average to below average.
Yeah, I thought the game in Columbus there quite well, especially on the second night of back-to-back. And
I agree with you there, Greg, for sure.
And we'll see how they bounce back against an Arizona team that has had a little bit of travel of their own, so I wonder maybe at all if there's a little bit of fatigue there. We'll see. Colby Cave, looking like Connor Cave in his goal on Saturday morning, and a huge goal for the team when you consider, and that's back-to-back games now, and which usually be like, whatever, some depth scoring. But when you had none, you know, that's a massive improvement, and you wonder if someone else can step up in the depth department tonight.
It makes a difference. Takes pressure off the other guys. Shifts the momentum in a game. You're not just trying to get through shifts without getting scored on. Colby Cave had a wake-up call. That's, you know, he got sent down to the American League. We all saw the fight he got into down there. Basically, the message is sent, you're safe in the NHL, your spot in the NHL is not safe. And so he comes back up and he grabs his opportunity. Not only did he make a nice drive the net and score a nice goal, but he threw a few nice hits too and, like, played the game with some energy and some enthusiasm and played it in a way that indicated he wants to stay. So good for him. Jujhar Khaira gets on the board. That's important for him. Important for his confidence. Important for the bottom six. They got to get more guys in that bottom six playing like their seat at the table's in jeopardy. And that's why it's nice to be able to send guys down. And when you get sent the message, not only you get sent down, but you clear waivers. Nobody else in the league wants to take a chance on you. You maybe realize that your stake in the game is hanging out there, and you need to justify your existence. And so Cave played the game that way. They need more guys in their lineup to play that way more often.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about Cave, not only that, he was really good in the faceoffs. That whole line, clearly the coach liked them. They're out there in the final minute of a 1-1 game. And, you know, that's the only line that didn't get switched in the blender today. What do you make of the new line combinations? Chiasson's with McDavid and Draisaitl. Neal's back with Nugent Hopkins. Cassian's there. And then Kara and Gagne stay together, but Gaetan Haas will center them.
Yeah, I'm okay with them trying to use Draisaitl and McDavid to get Chiasson going. Like, they have to get that player contributing.
Yes.
He just can't be at zeros the whole way through. It's just they got to get. And he's a player, obviously, that thrives on confidence and is a little streaky. So get him in there, get him on the board. Enough of that goose egg. Figure out what you got to do. Like, just give him the minutes. Cassian and Neal might be an interesting tandem. That might be an interesting bit of energy that comes from those two playing together that I'm interested in watching. That'll be interesting to see how that looks. I was okay with the shuffle based on the way they played. I know you don't love Struds to change a winning lineup, but they were outplayed. And they have been, and those lines are going a little bit stale. I got no problem with him switching it up a little bit.
Well, it's all the same guys, just to switch the pieces around, yeah?
Exactly. Yeah, you're shuffling the deck chairs around a little bit, but still off of a win. He made some pretty significant changes. So it'll be interesting to see how those look. But I'm okay with it. I mean, Chiasson is going to have to get going to play with those two. He's going to have his feet moving. He's going to be skating really well. and the play can't die on his stick. He's going to have to make plays at the offensive blue line. He's going to have to make plays out of the corners, because the one thing that'll get you off that line real fast is if the play is dying on your stick all the time before you get a chance to get it to the big money men.
Shagar, I love the way you bring up that dynamic of Neil and Cassian, because I really like this. They're both a little bit, Cassian a little bit more crazy than Neil, but Neil's got a little edge to him as well. And what Cassian brings to that lineup is a lot of speed, or sorry, to that line is a lot of speed. And yeah. I think that'll help those other two guys on that line. This is a line I want to see. I've been wanting to see for a while, and I'm really excited that we're getting to get to see it. And I think it could really, if Chaisson can just be average on that top line, it could really add something to that line with Neil.
Yeah, I agree. There's, like, Cassian, when Cassian is moving his feet lots, he gets there in time to be able to hit people.
Whoa, right? In a hurry.
Like, that was the issue with Milan Lucic. There was lots of intention there to be physical. He just couldn't get there in time. Guys would just sidestep him like he wasn't even there. The odd time he actually got there in time, he could blow people up pretty good. Well, Cassian's a much better skater and can get there in time. And he can throw four or five big hits a game just by virtue of the fact that he's as fast as he is. So if he gets out there and brings some physicality, I could see that being a line that can go and grab you momentum just through skating and hitting. Because James Neal is a pretty good hitter when he hits too. He's not the fastest, but he can line guys up and he can play a physical brand too. So I don't mind it. Let's see where their playmaking is at. I think Cassian did a nice job of being able to not have the play die on his stick. Keep plays alive, find those guys. I thought he contributed nicely to the playmaking on that top line. And honestly, I don't view this as a punishment for him. I think Dave Tippett views this as they could use what Cassian has been bringing and try and spread that onto another line, while at the same time giving Chaisson an opportunity. I don't view it as a demotion at all for Cassian based on his play.
No, I think he's played well. I think, you know, very quietly, they'd like Nugent Hopkins to get going. He's got one goal in 15 games.
Yep. No, 100%. I'd give him 3 because of the other two that he basically shot in the net that went off of other guys. But still, even 3, like he needs to be producing more than he is. He needs to be one of the guys that takes the pressure off those other two. He needs to be someone when you throw on the ice can be a threat. And I'm not sure if he's just not feeling it. I'm not sure. We aren't seeing a lot of flash in his game. There doesn't seem to be a lot of, like, last year we saw some offensive cockiness out of Nugent Hopkins, and I haven't really seen that from him yet this year, and the moves that he's trying and the things that he's trying to get done out there. He seems to be keeping it a little too simple himself, personally, and he's got the skills to do some dangling out there, and I think he should maybe just let it hang out there a little bit more. I'm not sure if it's with a new coach that he's playing it safe, if he's being asked to play it safe, I don't know. But he's got more offensively, more flair than he's showing right now.
Shagar, have a good one. We'll see you at the rink.
Okay, enjoy the game, boys.